God that wants to bring encouragement. Isn't that great news? Where are you going to go to get that kind of encouragement that he gives? And we have the book of Philippians, which you could put the theme of encouragement on it. Just get that stamp, rubber stamp, boom, from heaven. Encouragement, the book of Philippians. So if you open to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9. Philippians, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing to be on your word as we look into your word, look into our hearts, bring new life within us in the name of Jesus. This little section of scripture is kind of like a halftime pep talk. You know, Apostle Paul is the coach and we're in the halftime and we're winning. In fact, we've won, but there's another half left. So it's kind of this weird sense. We still have to keep moving forward, and there's so many encouraging things Paul wants to give us in this letter. So Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. What a beautiful thing. He starts out in verse 1, therefore, brothers, you whom I love, I long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Paul is talking about the fact that we need to stand firm in the Lord, but we don't do it alone. We have the encouragement and the love of God, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. It's like an Olympic athlete putting that crown on his head, and I wear you with joy. This fact that they have worked together and they have established this church and that love and joy are with them. Jesus said the similar thing. It's written about Jesus in Hebrews 12. It says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. What's the joy set before him? It's us. He knew that that relationship that he'd have with us, so he's going to go to the cross because he's going to bring people with him. We have that same joy as we link together and serve in the house of the Lord and in the gospel together. Paul says, I'm sharing this with all you. You're all my people. Remember Acts chapter 16, Lydia and her household. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer and all that whole town, they all started a church and they all worked together and they pulled that church together. 10 years later, then Paul writes this letter to that church to encourage them. They're partners in the gospel. I wear you with joy. It's like a crown. You are my joy and my pride. We also stand firm because of what we have in Christ. Go all the way back to chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel. How worthy is that gospel? Conduct yourselves worthy as the gospel. We have that. Don't forget that we belong to something magnificent, this gospel. Chapter 2, verse 5, your attitude should be that the same as that of Christ Jesus. That humility, because of all of his power and in grace, he can show that humility. Don't forget to be in humble servanthood in our attitudes toward one another. Chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting what is behind, straining on to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us in Christ Jesus. Don't forget that calling that he's given us all. We're to move forward in Christ and press on. Chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Don't forget to whom we belong. We belong to the heavenlies, not this earth. In other words, he's saying stand firm in the Lord, but you're not doing it alone. You've been given so many things. We have each other and we have the Lord. So therefore, stand firm in unity. Verse 2, he has to plead with a couple ladies. I guess there was a problem in the church. I don't think that ever happens too often. But anyway, it says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. He sends that miles away, 10 years later, these two people, you know, they got to get it together. Then he says, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side. He's lauding them. He's saying, they're fellow workers with me. They've contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, we're all in this together. Even these two that seem to be having a problem, get them all together on the same page. Yoke fellows, fellow workers, their names are in the book of life. There's something about a holy glue that you can't buy at Walmart, or, you know, this holy glue. It's this glue of fellowship that God has given us as we work together in the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 5, your partnership in the gospel from the day one, Acts 16, when this church got started. He hasn't forgotten that. Think of all that Paul is thinking about. He's in jail in Rome, and, you know, his time is short, and all those churches he started. That one man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit sent to get these churches started. What a mission. Now he's got them all on his heart. And this is what he is concerned about. It's the unity in the church. It's no small thing. And it is very difficult for human beings. We're just beings, human beings, to get together. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Yeah, I'm going to put aside this thing that used to bother me, and I'm going to jump in and get involved. I'm going to quit worrying about this thing that kept me from getting involved yesterday, and I'm going to get involved today. I'm going to get this church going. That's what this is about, Paul is saying. The concept of camaraderie and teamwork. I was at Target, and over the announcer, over the loudspeaker, attention Target workers, Target team members, I said. And I thought, I didn't know I was Target team member, I'm a customer. You know, I know he meant it for all the people there, but they're trying, now they have earphones, so you don't hear that anymore, but they're trying to get these people working together, and they get a paycheck. What's our paycheck? We have the Holy Spirit. We have a lot God wants to do in our lives in this little tiny church right here in La Mesa. The Super Bowl, I was watching the guy interviewed a couple years ago, and he said, you know why we won? Team chemistry. That guy must have been a chemistry major, I don't know, in school or whatever, but team chemistry. He didn't give it to the quarterback, or he didn't give it to the cleats they're wearing, or the, you know, all the weights they've lifted. He gave it to team chemistry. Isn't that amazing? Applebee's, of all places, I'm eating there. On the menu is the mission statement. Why would they do that on the menu? I don't know if it's still there. I haven't eaten there in a while, but I was kind of involved. I felt like part of the team as the waitress and waitresses were coming by. And how about us, the body of Christ? Attention, team members. You know, God wants to send. That's what he's doing in this letter. He's sending an all-points bulletin to us so we will get together in unity. And Paul is very tactful in this, dealing with those two ladies and dealing with all of us. You guys have got to get this together. You know why? Because there's a calling beyond us. It's beyond our little problems, way beyond us. And that's a sign of maturity. We can keep moving forward in it. So stand firm in that. Stand firm in rejoicing. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again. I don't know why he's got to say it again. But he says it again, rejoice. Now, how can you command somebody to rejoice? I don't feel like it. Well, a sign of maturity is we know why we're rejoicing. It's not because of circumstances. It's rejoice in the Lord, which will take infinity to figure out. Well, all we have in the Lord. I'm not rejoicing in myself. I'm not rejoicing in my situation. The key is in the Lord. We're not told to rejoice in our circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. And what will happen, we will find we'll even rejoice in our circumstances once we rejoice in the Lord. It starts there. Paul feels it's necessary to remind us because we all have TVS, tunnel vision syndrome. I've got it. We've all got it. My little tiny problem, you know, I've known the Lord 40 years, you know, I got the little problem for this 2 hours, you know. It's amazing how it can work. I forgot that God has begun a good work in me and he'll carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. I forgot about that. I forgot that for me to live as Christ. I forgot that I have encouragement from being united with Christ. I forgot that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I have comfort from his love and fellowship with other believers. I forgot that my citizenship is in heaven. I forgot that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, we can go on and on with this. I forgot my tunnel vision. He wants to rip us out of that tunnel and put us on up into heaven to see where he is. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Chapter 4, verse 3 says that right at the end of this little exhortation. It's kind of like the commercial. I don't think they have it anymore on TV. Menin's skim bracer, you know, for men that shave and get all... And the guy puts a Menin on, all of a sudden his hand comes up. Thanks, I needed that. Remember that commercial? That was 20, 30. Some of you may not remember it, but... That's what this is, a Menin skin bracer in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Thanks, I needed that. You know, sometimes we need to wake up and get going in the Lord. Stand firm in gentleness. Verse 5. Stand firm. How do we do that? Stand firm, rock solid in gentleness. Verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. There's no English word that we can't really translate this word gentleness. It's kind of between meekness and power. In fact, it is kind of meekness with power, like a horse under control, you might say. It's a combination of meekness, moderation, consideration. Somebody said that it's like justice, but better than justice. It's like an all-powerful judge, but he still stoops down to help the weakest person around and bows down and gets on the ground and helps them. That's this kind of gentleness that he's talking about. And then there's a priority. In the end of this little verse, 5 says, in your gentleness, don't forget. What's that little phrase? At the end of verse 5. The Lord is near. I mean, he's right there. We're all involved in our gentleness, and I didn't know he's had his hand on my shoulder and looking over me and involved in it too. I thought it was just me. The Lord is near. Now, what if there's a problem, an argument or strife, and the Lord suddenly, and Jesus suddenly walks right in? Everybody would, it would all stop in an instant. We'd be on our face. He can get us unstuck from stupid in a split second, can't he? Isn't that great? Isn't that good news? I need it sometimes. I got that super glue, you know, of stuck on stupid sometimes. But so the Lord wants us to be considerate in our attitudes. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6, I love this. In fact, it's on your little card there. I always like to put a little scripture card. Meditate on these verses all week long and memorize them. Some of you may know them very well because they're very prominent, famous verses. Verse 6, stand firm in confidence. Verse 6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Worry and anxiety. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, worry and anxiety about this and that, and then I start thinking about this and that, and next thing you know, whoa, I have actually said this verse out loud. It's put me back to sleep. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. The enemy wants to divide and conquer. Isn't that true? Isn't that kind of the enemy's scheme, divide and conquer? And he prowls around like a roaring lion. Interesting. I don't want these sheep. He knows we're sheep. I don't want these sheep that worship. I don't want these sheep that worship. You can't say the name. So-and-so. You can't say, you know, Jesus. You just can't quite say that. He just wants to divide and conquer, to pull us apart from Jesus as best he can, and he knows what to do. He'll try. I don't want those. You've heard of the Antichrist? Well, the devil is the anti-fidence. He wants to take our con, our with fide, faith. Confide, faith. He wants to pull our faith away. He's the anti-fidence. He wants to defeat us from our fide, take our faith from us. But the good shepherd is on watch. He's not going to allow it. He's going to do all he can. Isn't this word kind of like a shepherd's staff for us? It should be like a shepherd's staff. Thank God for this word. So what do we do in our confidence? I remember Years ago, some of you that are a little older might remember Mad Magazine. I grew up with Mad Magazine. It was part of my life. And I don't know what that little slogan meant. What me worry? Or what me worry? I thought, that's stupid. It's mindless. And little Alfred E. Newman or whatever, it reminds you of that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And then I remember seeing this little poster of Papa Baba Ram Dasa, something or other, and it said, Don't worry, be happy. And it's, God does not want us to have that kind of a face or that kind of, you know, we're supposed to be dead set on being proactive, pre-planned, horizoned out what we are doing and why we are locked in the way we are. Verse 6 says, in everything, there's a plan. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When we do that, all of a sudden, boom, the worry disappears. Don't worry. Not saying don't worry. Get busy taking your requests to God. Prayer reminds us of God's power. Petition reminds us that God will undertake our specific needs. Petition, our specific needs. Thanksgiving then gives us eagle's wings. We're just gone now. We're away from that situation and that problem. The great shepherd is with us. Anxiety does an about face. Now, I remember being a new believer years ago, and I don't remember exactly why I was talking to this person this way, but it was kind of a new age guru kind of a person. And I was telling him all about what the Lord's done in my life, how great the Lord is. And I was telling him, the Lord has done this. And all of a sudden, this person interrupted, you're lucky, and walked off. I went, what? I was offended. Luck. You know what I'm talking about. No, luck. There's a person I'm trying to share with this person. You're lucky. See, God is more interested in us just being happy and I'll feel good. You know, he wants us to be mature. There's always going to be hills and valleys, roller coaster, no matter how good things are. There's always going to be need for getting stronger because we'll be up and down one day and there'll be hills and valleys. So in our happy moments, praise God. Our difficult moments, seek God. Our quiet moments, worship God. Our painful moments, trust God. Our every moment, thank God. That's what he's saying here. It's all about God and we can do it. We can win. Stand firm in confide with faith in the Lord. And cover it all with a blanket of thanksgiving. I love when we worship. It's just, you should just give yourself to worship and forget the people around us if we can, you know, and just give your all to worship. So verse 6 says this, don't be anxious about anything. Aren't you glad the Lord told us that? That's coming from the kingdom, that's coming from the throne. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So if you do that, there's a promise attached. And the peace of God, the peace of God. And the transcendence which transcends all understanding. Transcends. I don't know why I feel peace right now. We can't figure it out because our problem should surpass that. But no, I have peace. He'll guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. A holy peace invasion. Going back to when I was a new Christian again, I guess I got another new Christian story. I was a young Christian. I was making life decisions and career changes and different things going on. And I made a decision that I should have been so worried about in the natural. And so I made it thinking it was what the Lord wanted me to do. And I waited for the anxiety. I didn't have any. In fact, I had such peace. I'm telling you the truth. I don't remember what it was I thought about. It was so long ago. But I had such peace that I felt guilty for having such peace. And I remember telling my mom that, you know, I figured this out. It's awesome. I thought it was the greatest thing. Because I had a new boss, working for a new boss. The old boss is gone. And I knew it was the right thing for me to do to make this choice. Let the peace of God guard our hearts. He'll do it. We're under the protective custody of the shepherd and his staff, shepherd staff. So stand firm also in our thinking. Another little memory in verse 8, which is, this is a powerful little verse to wonder, what are we putting in our minds? This will help us here in verse 8, if the world only knew this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, That's a big list. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Don't pass this verse 8 up. The battle is first fought in our heart, in our minds, not in our action. If we're doing an action or we have an attitude, it starts in the heart. Usually, that's where it starts. The field of battle is in the mind, the forgotten battlefield, some say. Mark chapter 7, the religious leaders were all promoting all their outward religious things to Jesus. Jesus goes, listen, it's not what you do on the outside. It's what's in the heart that matters. Because when it's in the heart, then it comes out in your action. God wants to put holy limits on our thoughts, what we think about, what we dream about, what we engage ourselves in. It's not, and the world cries censorship and repression. Isn't that how they usually portray Christians? You're repressive, and you're, because that's what a rebel does, see? But we've laid down our heart, we're not rebel. It's not censorship, it's called stewardship. In other words, we're still in control, but we're under the stewardship in a different whole way. It's a beautiful thing. And it's not repression, it's submission. We're underneath in a mission, submission. We're in his mission now, and we're submitting to him. What a difference this higher calling makes. Our culture is ill. It always has been. The world is ill since Genesis 3, right? And it's so media-driven. Doesn't it drive you nuts? I mean, it's media-driven. If something gets on TV, it must be okay. Let's get it on TV. If something is on the big screen in the film, it must be okay. If something's on the radio, magazine, newspaper, it's all okay. The movie's trying to help us. I know, we're going to give you ratings. G and PG and NC-17 and whatever. Adult entertainment. Let me tell you this. Number one, if it was really adult, it wouldn't tear people down. It wouldn't destroy society. It wouldn't destroy innocent lives and innocent minds. If it was really adult, it would want the best. It's not adult. That's a word they've ruined. Secondly, a follower of Christ does not need the world's rating system. A follower of Christ should know what to see and what not to see, what to put in our minds and what not to put in our minds, and what to spend our time on and what not to spend our time on. The media culture, you know what the media means? It means what's in the middle, medium, in the middle. So it mediates truth for us, but who is our mediator? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Jesus is in the middle now. So I'm letting him mediate for me, not the media. It's not going to be my media. Jesus is my media. So Philippians 4:8 goes beyond anything this media tries to sell us to the very deep part of our hearts. God does not censor, he brings healing. God does not repress, he leads people to a higher calling. God does not make us robots, he makes us better stewards. God does not hold us back, he moves us higher. See, God sets us free. The world knows nothing about it. And we actually become better, and then what happens? We need less rules. Less laws, we're even more free. Isn't it amazing what God does for us? Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Lord, you're my mediator. Refocus on this little verse in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And now verse 9, stand firm in our doing, our action. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. Now how many could say this? I was thinking about that. What a challenge. Any parent who has children should read this. Because children are doing, they're following this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, or any leader should say this. Or all our leaders that we elect, you know. Anyone who cares about people. So Paul is putting himself under this. I'm doing this for you. I'm your example. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and then the peace of God will be with you. So we have a little homework assignment. It is to be practitioners of God's will, to put into practice the things that we're supposed to put into practice. There's a little mystery about belonging to the Lord is submission actually brings freedom. Submission to the Lord, bowing down, not my way, Lord, but your way. And fill in the blank for that. It could have anywhere from an attitude to words we use to things we're involved in, anything. Lord, not your will, but mine be done. And then God sets us free. He says right here, the peace of God will be with you in all of that. The Bible is so full of exhortations to maturity. If you're a baby Christian, become a mature Christian. If you're a carnal Christian, become a spiritual Christian. If you're disobedient, become obedient. If you're a hearer, be a doer. If you've forgotten all these blessings, remember them. Somebody once said that faith is useless as a creed if it's absent in the heart. But once it gets in the heart, then it becomes, we don't even think about it. It's what we do. God wants to get into our hearts. But one thing happens is, and this is a temptation for everybody. I know I'm not talking to us because we're all here. But people will rebel against this. They'll go, you know, I don't want to listen to this message. And I don't want to bow to the Lord. It's because it's going to be my way. And then they're in bondage. The book of Philippians is to set people free and then encourage them in that freedom. Put good boundaries and barriers, safe boundaries and barriers in their lives. Paul said, now if you do these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. This is Jesus' action plan. This is Jesus' brand. It says, the peace of God will be with you. He wants to bless you. Jesus said that, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. He wants to be doers of the word. Gee, I thought that being a Christian would just make me miserable and all my friends are having all the fun. What? And all the world's having fun. What? No, it doesn't work that way. It's deception. True peace and freedom, the peace of God, comes from being a practitioner. This is a slippery, sloped world. And it's getting greased up more and more with deception. So when in doubt, check. Just look around at this media-driven culture. What's going on? What direction is it going? Down or up? What direction does God want us to go? Growing all the time. So stand firm in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We're going to pray right now, and the worship team's going to come up. If you want to leave your seat and find a place to pray right up here, you may do so. But let's start with prayer and seeking God in a new, powerful way right now. Father, in the name of Jesus.